It's our pleasure today to have with us Dr. Peter Pignol, a man who came to the States many years ago to get his training and return back to his homeland to carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's so sad so many times that when nationals come to train in the United States, many of them stay, never return back to their homeland. And this man has a heart for his country. He knows the language, didn't have to go to language school, knows the language, is able to communicate both in Spanish and Catalan. And we look forward so much this morning to have him come and share what the Lord has laid on his house. Dr. Pignol, would you come?
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Once again, I want to express my gratitude to this church and especially to your pastor for the time that we are spending here with you all. It's the first time we have met each other, and I know that in the first time it's kind of hard to say and to show you everything that the Lord is doing. But we wanted this time to be a blessing for you. We want to be a blessing indeed. And also, you have been already a blessing for us. I want to say thank you for the place that you gave us to stay there in the motel. It's really nice. We are not used to these commodities, so it's such a blessing that we want to express our gratitude. And also, yesterday we had a wonderful dinner, a wonderful supper. Brother Adam taught me that we were going to feed the alligators. So I was really encouraged for that. And then when we got there, I discovered that I was the supper for the alligator. And I was kind of scary. But we enjoy it very much, and we want to express our gratitude. Brethren, I don't know how it's going to be in heaven. I really don't know yet, but it's going to be wonderful. And I'm looking forward to that day that we will be there with our Lord and Savior. Heaven will not be heaven without Him. It's not because of the streets of gold and everything. It's just because our Lord is there. And that is what encouraged us this morning, to know also that, our Lord, He is here with us. He is here. And we want to honor Him as we sing, as we pray, as we preach the Word of God. It's too much things going on Christianity today. Too many of those things break the heart. I believe we are living in a time of apostasy. I believe we are living in a time where the Lord is coming soon. But we don't have to be discouraged. We have really to be happy. Very soon, we will hear a trumpet, a wonderful trumpet. I don't know, it will sound like that one we heard this morning. It was wonderful.
I hope it's better.
It will be better, brother. But that trumpet is going to be a call for us to go to heaven with the Lord. Are you ready?
Amen.
Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, as we contemplate what you have done in our lives, through your grace and by your grace, the only thing that we can do is fall upon our knees and thank the Father for such a grace, such a love. We are not worthy of this love. And yet, Father, you sought us and you save us. And as we open your word this morning, Father, we want to pray that you will bless our hearts. Because he's not the messenger, I'm just a tool in your hands. But we want to pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts in whatever need we have. Maybe we have to do things right with you. Or maybe, Father, you want to call someone to be a servant, a pastor, a missionary. I want, Father, to ask for your help as I preach. You know that, Father, I am trembling. But I want to share the word properly. And I would like to ask, Father, that you will help me to do so. And Father, help us. Revive us, Father. Revive our hearts, our soul, so we'll have a greater love toward you and toward your word. We want to pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please open the Bible in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Romans 10 and verse 13. We are going to read in that precious passage, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed to the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I was 15 years old the first time that I heard a message in this passage. I was seated on a pew, and I heard the Lord calling me to be a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not too soon to become a preacher. It's not too late. The Lord wants for everybody, every one of us, to become a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, a messenger of the good tidings that we have received, and then take them to every creature. Now, as we think on this, we have to contemplate the immensity of the need. Look around. So many people are without Christ and without salvation. Look around. Look to the world. As I am preaching here this morning, maybe 20 half minutes, half an hour, millions will go to hell without Christ, without hope. Who is able to accomplish such an immensity of the job before us? It's greater than what we can do. The immensity of the need. But also, we would like to think this morning about the power to our disposal. We will see how we have received everything that we need to accomplish our call, to accomplish our duty. And finally, let's also think and contemplate the feebleness of the servants that are sent to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, you know well the passage. The Lord showed to the disciples how they were going to receive the power of the Holy Ghost, and they were going to become the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, starting in Judea, from Jerusalem, and then going to Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the earth. At that time, Christopher Columbus was not born yet, so I'm sorry to say, America was not discovered. And when they heard those words of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they needed to be witnesses to the uttermost part of the earth, they had one country in mind. Guess what? Spain. For the Roman Empire, Spain was the uttermost part of the earth. After Spain was nothing, just water, and more water, and nothing else. There is a point in Spain, it's called Finisterre. That's Latin. Finisterre means the end of the earth. And as we know through history, the book of Romans, chapter 16, Paul expresses his desire to go to Spain. And we know by tradition, and it looks like very possible, that the Apostle Paul came to Spain with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that place that I show you through the video, the first church in Spain was established in Tarragona. In Tarragona. During the Roman persecution, 11,000 Christians died for the Lord Jesus Christ. Brethren, the gospel arrived to Spain very early in history. But the Spaniards that received the gospel paid with their lives and with sacrifice. So today I will be free to preach the gospel in the streets of Spain without fear, without apology. But they pay a high price. The immensity of the need. In the book of Acts, chapter 17, and verse 16, The Apostle Paul was in the city of Athens. He looked around, and in that verse it says that while Paul waited for them, the rest of the apostles, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. When we contemplate the city of Barcelona in Spain, our hearts break. When I contemplate the millions of people that are dying without Christ, my heart breaks. My beloved brother and sister, we have to see the immensity of the need. Missions is not about money. Missions is not about movies and pictures and all of this paraphernalia. Missions is about going with the Word of God to those people that are dying. And missions start with your neighbor. Going to him and saying, listen, my friend, you're lost. You need a Savior. I'm realizing as we are traveling this time that some of the churches are afraid of taking the gospel. I was saying before that we are living in a time of apostasy. We can see it around us. But may I say something carefully this morning and very sincere? Although we are living in a time of apostasy, the battle is not over. Although the enemy has taken our position, the enemy has destroyed everything that we had in our spiritual heritage in this country. Brethren, freedom is not free. Somebody paid for it. Our liberties are not free. Somebody gave their lives so today you and I could be in this church with freedom to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm realizing that the newer generation are kind of frustrating, saying, well, here everything is gone bad. Everything that we hold before is gone. There's nothing left. And we are so frustrated that our legs are trembling. We are so frustrated that we think that it's over, that we cannot do nothing else. And may I say this morning, keep on preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God still is the soul winner. He is the one saving the souls. And it's our responsibility to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one day I took the teenagers to a place called paintball. I don't know if you have heard of that. It's a crazy game. I don't know why I always mess up with them. They say, Pastor, you come, we'll have fun. Okay, let's have fun. Let's, you know, kill each other. Just shooting. You see the children? All right. And I remember we were there in a situation, and the enemy, the other team, okay, this is just a game. The enemy was coming, and everybody was hiding. I saw them, you know, hiding, and bullets were choo-choo-choo. And I saw around and said, come on, kids, they're killing us. Do something. Now, I was a Green Beret. I was a Green Beret in the Army. I have to say that before. When I saw my team there hiding, and my son was coming, he was one of my enemies. He was coming against me. Daddy, I'm going to get you. I stood up. I took my weapon. And I said, I screamed to everybody, all right, shoot now. They were saying like, whoa, Pastor, he's brave. So they stood up. They started shooting. We won. We won that one. It was good. Well, that gave me a lesson that day. After lunch, you know, the battle was over. The bruises were still on. I don't know if you know that when that hit, make a bruise. But I looked to the kids and I say, listen, we're in a battle against Satan, against the world, but against ourselves, our sin. Don't surrender. Don't give up. Don't hide yourself. Stand up. In Spain, Christians died just because they wanted to have the Word of God in Spanish. They died just 500 years ago during the Inquisition. 4 years ago. 4 years, brethren, pastors were put in prison by the Franco regime, because he was a strong Catholic. He did not allow any evangelical, Baptist, or whatever to preach the Bible. Only Catholic. And we as Bible believers, in our Bible church, we wanted to preach the gospel. We could not do it. I have the wife of a deacon. She told me how they met on the woods, watching for the police to come and get them. When you receive this kind of testimony, you are not afraid. You realize how they gave the life for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to die, but I want to live my whole life as a sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ. Contemplate what a great immensity of our responsibility. But also, don't be afraid. Think for a moment about the power to our disposal. The Bible says in the book of Acts 1:8 that we have received the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know that I am not a Pentecostal or a charismatic. You know that. But I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that Christians, we should live in that power, not in the power of the flesh, not in the power of sin, but a consecrated life to the Lord and Savior. And brethren, we have received the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. We don't have to be afraid. We have Him in our side. And I know that when we preach the gospel, it's not us, it's not our human persuasion. Is the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit who produces salvation in the heart of people. It's He and He alone. It's He who moves that soul to see the need of salvation. And when I preach this Word, oh my beloved friend, I am sure of the promise that the Holy Spirit would touch the heart of the people. But Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says very clear, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation. Oh, what a power. The Word of God. Yes, it's a power that reaches the heart, transforms the life of the sinner, and from a sinner makes a son of God. Do you remember when you were lost? I do. Tell you, I was lost as lost can be, and I was just a child. I remember the first time I entered into a church. Actually, it was in a house church. Somebody invited us to go to hear the gospel, and I thought, wow, that sounds interesting. I was the leader of a street gang, and 8 of us, we went to that house. And you know why we went? We didn't go to listen to the gospel of Christ. We went to make noise. I was a bad kid. And I remember that I told my pals, listen, fellows, we'll go to that place, and to my given sign, we're going to make all the noise that we can to the storm. Okay? Are you ready? Yes, sir. So we went to that place, and I sat down. I smiled. I was ready. And then the missionaries talk about Christ dying for our sin. He talked about His love. My daddy did not love me much. When I heard that God loved me, my heart was struck. I remember that day so clearly. My friend hit me and said, come on, Peter, let's do something. I was the leader, right? They obey orders, right? So I say, you, be quiet. I use another word that I'm not going to use. But say, be quiet and listen. They listen. We went there for the whole week. It was a vacation Bible school. At the end of the week, two of my pals, two of my friends, and I, we enter in a room. We bow in our knees. We accepted Christ as personal Savior. The gospel of Christ has power in it. The gospel reaches the soul and saves the sinner. When I am preaching in Spain, when I am talking to people in the street, I know I'm not there because my power, my strength, I'm there with the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Word of God. But there is a third power. Even better, we don't forget this one. It's the power of prayer. The power of prayer. Elijah prayed. He was a man like you and I. Feeble, yes. But he prayed, and the Lord answers prayer. I'm sure you have seen it in this church. I'm sure you may count many testimonies when you pray to the Lord for something and you receive even more what you expected. The Lord is that good. Sad to say, and I'm going to be clear now, very sad to say that even in missions, we have lost prayer as a priority. We have learned our human ways to make the machinery work. We have to have a display, okay, let's get a display. We have to have prayer letters, okay, let's do prayer cards, okay, let's get prayer cards. That's part of the machinery. Where is the prayer? Where are the hearts broken? Where are they? America sent more missionaries to the world than any other country. Some of the stories of missionaries that I read are amazing. William Carey, Hudson Taylors, Livingston from England, General Hudson, so many of them. We need more missionaries in the mission field. And the Lord said in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me. Go ye therefore. The word power there means authority. Brethren, we are His representatives in the world. We are going with His authority. What a challenge, right? And what a power. But yet, as we consider the power to our disposal, we also have to see the feebleness of the tools that He chooses, the feebleness of the servants. Paul said that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God unto salvation. But then Paul also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 reminds us, saying this, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, none of us. The power is in Him, not in us. We are feeble. When I contemplate my life, I'm feeble. I wish I could be more spiritual than what we are. I wish I could have more time of prayer than what I do. I'm feeble. I wish I could speak better, not only in English, but also in Spanish. Doesn't matter the language I speak, I have an accent. If I speak Spanish, I have an accent because I'm Catalan. I speak Catalan, and I have been so long in the United States, they have a British accent, they say. So I am a man with an accent. Okay. It was so encouraging to read about George Mueller. I'm sure you have heard of that man in England. He had many orphanages. And that man, he was a German. Did you realize he was German? And his biography says he has a horrible British accent. I'm so sorry for him. But I tell you, that German man was a powerful man in the hands of God. How many men with accent have God used in the life? Feeble, oh yeah, feeble. You know why they invented the pulpit? So you will not see our legs trembling. That's the only purpose of the pulpit. We are feeble. And yet, brethren, what a book. B.B. Warfield said that the man in a small church never has to think that there is such thing called small church. Because we don't have a small gospel, we don't have a small Savior. It's not numbers what we are looking. We're looking to the Lord, saying, Lord, I will follow your orders and do whatever you want me to do. I am feeble, all my strength is in thee. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul again said that he had a problem and he prayed for that problem. And the Lord answered him and said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Yeah, we are feeble. His grace is sufficient. In our church, the choir director, it's a lady that also played the piano. Actually, I think she was on the video presentation. She was such a blessing, and she is such a blessing. But she was diagnosed, she had cancer. And she had to go through all the process of chemotherapy. And you know, when you go through chemotherapy, you lose your hair. She lost all her hair. I think in the picture you saw a lady with very short hair, now was growing back. And she was discouraged, you know. She was sad. But she realized how the power was in Christ, not in her. She has been such a blessing for everybody at the church. She's feeling fine now. It was an answer to prayer. But she remembered this verse. His grace is sufficient for me. When we contemplate the need, His grace is sufficient. When we contemplate the power He has given us, we realize His grace is sufficient. When we contemplate our own feebleness, we know His grace is sufficient. And this morning, brethren, I want to tell you, the battle is not over. Don't surrender. Be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep on preaching the word in time and out of time, day and night. Read your neighbors. Pray. Intercede before the throne of grace for those that are dying with Christ and without hope in Spain, in India, in Africa, in Asia, all over the world. Be a missionary. Don't be afraid. God is with us. He will come soon. And with Him, His reward. Never surrender. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank Thee so much that although we are feeble and although we cannot do it by ourselves, we have all the power that we need. And I would like to pray for this church, Father, that You will encourage them to preach the gospel here in Florida or wherever You take them. Help us also back in Spain to keep on being faithful to You even in times of need. Being happy and content with whatever You give us to continue our ministry. Help us to be faithful, Father. In this time of apostasy, help us to be faithful and truth to the Word of God and to our Savior. We pray these things in the glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.